We're going to be learning the Kutisifas Kelechaf, Sicha for Parshas Vayeshev. This is an interesting Sicha where the Rebbe discusses a Yerushalmi, tells us that the Inyan of Pidyon HaBen and Machzis HaShekel is connected to Mechiras Yosef. And so we're going to discuss these Yerushalmi. The map of this year is, I'm going to first focus on Sif Aleph, where the Rebbe is going to quote the Yerushalmi, and in Ha'aris, he's going to bring a Brachus Rabbah, which is very similar to the Yerushalmi, but there are some differences. And also he gives different explanations. He quotes the Ifei Tayar, HaKosev, other commentators on the Midrashim. I'm going to spend some time looking at Sif Aleph before we go into the rest of the Sicha. Okay. So regarding this, that the Acha Yosef sold Yosef for 20 kesef that the Yerushalmi tells us. This is in Shkolim, Perek Beis, Seif Halacha Gimel. And the Yerushalmi over there is actually talking about different reasons for Machzis HaShekel. Explicitly, the name for Machzis HaShekel. So he says, since they sin B'chatzeh HaYoyim, therefore they give the Machzis HaShekel, since they sin B'techit HaEgel, B'chatzeh HaYoyim, because they're over on their Ser Sedibris, therefore the Machzis HaShekel is 10 Gera. And then he continues, Le'lefish HaMachrei, Bechor Shal Rachel, the Esrim Kesef, since they sold the Bechor of Rachel for 20 Kesef, Yekal Achva Achat Poydis B'nai Bechor Be'esrim Kesef. Therefore, each individual will sell his son for 20 Kesef. So, what is the value of 20 Kesef? Shehein Chamei Shkalim. That is 5 Shkalim. Where the Rebbe is telling us not to make a mistake. That Esrim Kesef, you can think, means 20 Shkalim. That's actually how the Baal HaTurim and others, the first two explanations, the Chaskuni, many learn. Esrim Kesef means that Yosef was sold for 20 shkolim. But the Yerushalmi doesn't learn it that way. When it says Esrim Kesef, it actually means Kesef Dinar, Kesef of the Dinar, which is a smaller amount. So 20 Kesef of Dinar would actually equal 5 shkolim. 4 Kesef Dinar is 1 shekel, so 20 Kesef Dinar would be 5 shkolim. This is also from the, if you look at the Targum Unkelus usually translates Kesef as Seloin, as a Sela, Sela and a Shekel of the same value. But over here, he just translates it as Kesef, which is not characteristic of the Unkelus. And the Meforshe Unkelus say the reasoning is based on this Yerushalmi, and also on the Medrash, that says that the 20 Kesef over here was only 5 Sela, so therefore the Esrim Kesef is not 20 Seloim or 20 Shkolim, it's actually only 5 Shkolim. The Yerushalmi continues, the Fisha Makrai, the Chayresh of Rachel, the Esrim Kesef, the Nafal Lachol Echab Echad, Mehem Taba'a, Stay Kesef Machzis HaShekel, since they sold the Bechor of Rachel for 20 Kesef, and each one only received Taba'a. A Taba'a is a coin which is worth 2 Kesef, which is 2 Dinar, which is also the Machzis HaShekel. A full shekel is 4 Kesef. So a half a shekel would be 2 kesef, which is the same value as a taba'ah. The fichach yakal achva echa nesin shiklei taba'ah. Therefore, each one will give us a shekel, the taba'ah, which is the machzis shekel. So we see from this Yerushalmi that there's two types of payments that we're chayiv to give because of the mechiras Yosef. One of them is pidyon haben, and the second is machzis shekel. And what's the connection? So the Rebbe brings from the Nezer HaKodesh that the machzis shekel is a kapara. We know, just even before we get into the Nezer HaKodesh, what is the Machzis HaShekel, its inyan is, even the Api Pshuta Shemikra, its idea was for a kofer nafshay, which was to bring a kapara for the Yidden, that through the Machzis HaShekel, they would buy the Karbanas Tzibur, which is the kapara for the Yidden. And by each person given the Machzis HaShekel, they took part in the Karbanas Tzibur, which their inyan was to bring a kapara for the Yidden. And of course, there's many other kaparas which are connected to the Machzis HaShekel, the Chet HaEgel, etc. So another inyan which will be connected to this Befer, to this kapara, will also be the sin of selling Yosef. As the Rebbe brings from the Zayar, that because of the selling of Yosef, there was a Einish of Galus, which was Nigzar and Yidden for generations. Therefore, since the Mechir of Yosef is a Chet Nimshach, it's a type of sin that wasn't ever completely forgiven. The Pagam of this sin continues through all generations. Therefore, we need to also give the Machzis HaShekel, which will be a Kleifer Nafshay for each generation. So that's an interesting idea that we see that the Mechir of Yosef is a Kapara for our generations. And we do see this, the Rebbe doesn't bring this, but we do see this in many places, that that it says by Amos, it says that one of the reasons the Yidden were sent into Golos is because you sold your brother Yosef for silver. And we also know that the 10 Aruge Malchus, that one of the reasons why they were killed was because the Acha Yosef sold Yosef. So we do see in different places that the sin and the punishment for Yosef was also put on other generations. In our R6, the Rebbe quotes the Zohar, and the Zohar over there tells us, connects it to the Inyan of Golas Mitzrayim. It tells us, well, even more, it also connects to the Inyan of Shabbos. It says by the Seir Sedibris in Parshas Veschanan that one of the Inyanim that you're supposed to have by Zohar is the Shabbos because Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. So the question really all the Mepharshim is, what's the connection of Yitzit Mitzrayim to the Inyan of Shabbos? So the Zohar gives an explanation, is that the reason why the Yidden were sent in Mitzrayim was a punishment for selling Yosef. And therefore, the kapara, what they need is, and what protects them is Shabbos. That by guarding the Shabbos, that protects us from Golos. So what do we see from the Zohar? That A, the Yidden were sent into Golos Mitzrayim because of the sin of Mechiras Yosef. So Mechiras Yosef is connected to the Inyan of Golos. And B, this is something which is Nishmal Adairs. Therefore, we need to have Zechor Yom Shabbos. That the Inyan of Shabbos is our shield, is our protection from this, from Mechiras Yosef. So we're seeing from the Zohar that this is something which is for future generations. He also brings a second Zohar. And it tells us that the reason why the Yidden were in Mitzrayim for 210 years was because there were 10 brothers involved in the sale of Yosef. And Yosef was separated from his father for 22 years. So if you do 22 times 10, it's 220. And since all 10 brothers died in Mitzrayim, so the Misa itself took care of 1 year. That was Mechaper on 1 year. So it equals 210. So basically, for each, because of the 22 years that he was separated from his father and he was in Golos Mitzrayim, therefore the Yidden were in Mitzrayim for 210 years, plus all 10 brothers also had to die in Mitzrayim. Then he says, brings Shabbos Yumam. The Gemara over there in Shabbos tells us that a person should never be Mishana ben Habanav. You shouldn't make differences between one child and another. Because that since Yaakov gave Yosef a coat, the Ksenis Pasim, which was worth 2 sela, because of that, all the brothers are jealous of him, and from that, Nizgalgula, the Golos Mitzrayim. So Tosis asks, what do you mean because of the kina that Yosef and his brothers had? That's why we have Mitzrayim. We're going to have Mitzrayim anyways, because by the Bris Ben Abisarim, one of the things Hashem told Mitzrayim is that you will go to Golus. They're going to be in a foreign land, which is not theirs, and they're going to suffer for 400 years. So we have to go to Golus Mitzrayim regardless of what was going on with Yosef and his brothers. So even if they didn't get in a fight, for some reason we will have gone down there. So the Tosfos answers that if you do the calculation of 400 years, that actually starts from the birth of Yitzchak, according to one Gerson Tais. It starts from the birth of Yitzchak. And for the 190 years, the Yidden were actually in Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't own Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it was considered sojourning in a land which was not theirs. And then they had 210 years in Golos Mitzrayim. So he says that if they wouldn't have sold Yosef, possibly they wouldn't have had such hard suffering in Mitzrayim. Hashem would have done something similar to the first 190 years. Just like the first 190 years was part of the 400 years. So Hashem would have done something similar, and it wouldn't have been such a horrible galus that they had. But because of the sin of Yosef, therefore they had to, mamish had to go into the Kushi Hashibut. So again, we're seeing that Taisus is saying that the inyan of going to Mitzrayim and going to galus and a hark type of galus, meaning it's not just staying in Eretz Yisrael, and they're just not owning Eretz Yisrael, but had to be such a harsh galus that again was also connected to the inyan of Mechiras Yosef. So we're seeing that this idea of Mechiras Yosef is A, connected to galus, and we're also seeing that it's something which is Nimshach L'dayrus, A, from historically we find, especially by the Esar Harugei Malchus, how they were killed because of the Mechiras Yosef. And also, as we said, from the Zohar, that Shabbos is there to protect us from the Mechiras Yosef. That's why you have to remember Yitzis Mitzrayim on Shabbos. Okay, so that makes sense why we have the Inyan of Machzis HaShekel. So the Machzis HaShekel is to give us a kapar. What about Pidyon HaBen? How is Pidyon HaBen connected to Mitzrayim? Connected to Mechiras Yosef. L'chaira, Pidyon HaBen has nothing. The reason why we have Pidyon HaBen, and the Mepharshim asked this, is because Hashem killed the Bechayr Mitzrayim and he saved the Bechayr Yisrael. Therefore, since Hashem saved the Bechayr Yisrael, they became a choir, they became Kinuyim LaHashem, and technically they were supposed to serve as the Kohanim. But because of the Chet HaEgel, they weren't fitting to serve as the Kohanim, and we had to redeem them. Because they were the property of Hashem and they had Kedusha, therefore there had to be a redemption. The redemption was 5 coins. So the Shiloh Mefarshim ask is, it has nothing to do with Yosef, it has to do with Hashem saving the Bechor Mitzrayim, Bechor Yisrael and Mitzrayim. So the Nezer Kodesh explains that this, that the Bechor Yisrael were Bechlal in danger, was only because of Bechiris Yosef. Meaning, Malkus Mechiris was only supposed to be on the Bechor Mitzrayim anyway. So what does it mean that Hashem saved the Bechor Yisrael? Hashem didn't save the Bechor Yisrael. The Bechor Yisrael were never in danger because they never were deserving of this punishment. Hashem doesn't punish people for no reason. The Bechor Mitzrayim were supposed to get a punishment. They got a punishment. So what does it mean he saved the Bechor Yisrael? Are we also going to say that he saved the little babies or the second or third born of the Jewish people? No, because they were never part of that Gezerah. So why would the Bechor Yisrael be part of the Gezerah? So therefore, the Nezer Kodesh wants to say is that they were part of the Gezerah. Because since Mechiras Bechor Yisrael Rachel, since Yosef, who was the Bechor of Rachel, was sold, therefore the Bechor Yisrael deserved this punishment. That would have been one of the punishments because of the selling of Yosef. And Hashem saved them. They weren't deserving it, but Hashem did a miracle and he saved them. And because he did this miracle and saved them, therefore they became a choir to him, and we need the Pinyan Aben. So ultimately, the reason why we need to do Pinyan Aben is because of Mechiras Yosef. So important to note, and we'll get back to this later, that by the Machzis HaShakel is a direct kapara for Mechiras Yosef. Masha'en came by the Pinyan Aben, it's not a direct kapara for Mechiras Yosef, it's rather because Mechiras Yosef caused that the Bechor Yisrael would have been deserving of punishment, and then Hashem did a miracle, and because of this miracle, therefore the Bechorim have Kedusha, they're acquired to Hashem, and we need to redeem them for 5 Selah. So technically the Pinyan Haben is actually to redeem the firstborns. It's not directly because of the Mechiras Yosef, it's somewhat a second step removed. That's how the Nezer HaKodesh learns it. There are just a Shlomis Inyan, if the Bachya actually learns that the Pinyan Haben is directly a Kapara. He doesn't explain really why, but he says the Inyan of the Pinyan Haben, he explains the Medrash to say that the Pinyan Haben is literally a Kapara for the selling of Rachel. But according to this explanation, it doesn't seem that it's a direct Kapara. It seems that it's really for the redemption of the firstborns who had Kedusha because they were saved. Look at our 9. Okay, so the Rebbe asks on this that we need to understand why because of the sin of Yosef that caused two types of achiyah for two different types of tashlumin. Pidyon Aben u'machzis HaShakel. So the Rebbe actually puts in parentheses tzvei sugei tashlumin. So without the parentheses, the question is, there's one avera and the two types of tashlumin. That seems very interesting. There's one avera. Why would there be two types of, why are there two tashlumin for one avera? Especially if you understand that the Inyan Pinyan Aben is a type of a kapara also. Why are we having two types of kaparas, for one sin? But the Rebbe does put in parentheses suge, because I think he's hinting to what I was saying, that the inyan of the suge tashlumin is that they're not the same type of payment. One is a payment mamish for a avera, so it's a kapara, while the second type of payment is for the inyan of redemption. And the question is, why through one inyan you're able to cause two different, totally different types of tashlumin? And to explain this, look at R9. The Rebbe first of all says, v'loy mashmash zeh uplukta etzat, implied from in the Yerushalmi that this is an argument, that it's two different arguments, like either it's Pinyan Aben or it's a Kapara, either Pinyan Aben is a Kapara or Machzis HaShakel. Rather, they both agree. V'rei ha-Lashon v'yeshes Rabbisham that Omer b'Yehuda, v'loi Rabbi Yehuda Omer. The Lashon is that the Rabbi Yehuda says. So always when you have the word Omer first, it implies that he's adding, not that he's arguing. Mash'enkin, if it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, then it sounds like he's arguing. So basically it's not. And then he says V'rei l'kman b'fnim. So what is it referring to, Re'e L'Kaman B'Fnim? So I think the Rebbe is referring to the beginning of question Gimel. And we'll jump to this question, just for the Shlemus HaInyan. So far, the question that we've had is that we have these two types of payments. One is for a kapara, the other is for the purpose of a pidyon, which was indirectly connected to the Inyan Mechira Seisav. And our question is, how could there be two different types of payments for one avera? So if we understand that they're both directly a for kapara, like let's say like the bachia, so the rest question is very clearly understood. Why do you need two kaparas, one avera? But if we're going to understand that one of them is for a kapara, and the other is for, because Hashem did a miracle, then this question is not really seem like a very strong question. Yeah, of course there's two different types of payments. One of them is because we had need to get a kapara from Mechiras Yosef, which we don't have yet. And then the other one is that, because the Bechor Yisrael, who should have been killed, were saved. So that's because of a nes. We're doing the pinyon as really connected more to the part of the nest. So yes, it is. The reason why they needed a nest was because they were deserving of punishment. And then Hashem saved us. But the pidyon itself is really to commemorate, or really, well, not so much to commemorate. It's just because the Bechorim should have, because the Bechorim can't work his claim, therefore we have to redeem them. So it's two totally different things. So it's not such a strong question, Bechorim. So therefore, I think the Rebbe says, Re'ei Lekman Bifnim, in Siv Gimel, the first question, where the Rebbe asks over there another question, but it's really, I think, a completion of this question, where he says that the shleima, the inna machzis a shekel, is a tashlima for a chet kamor. And that's stressed in the pasuk. It says koy for nachi. Fine. So machzis a shekel is a kapar. That makes a lot of sense. But he says pidyon a bechor is actually fakert. It's lachar an inyan of toiv and kedusha. It says kadosh likal bechor. Bechor has a kedusha inside of it, and that's why you need to be paid to him. So he asks, how is it shaykh? By selling the Bechor Rishal Rachel, that should bring to the Inyan which is connected to Kadosh Liko Bechor. Meaning is that the question is that they did something, that the Achei Yosef did something wrong, and what's the outcome of this? Something which is good. Something which is the Inyan of Kedusha. Look at R 15. He says, Apshul Apayon Netzala Baif Nisiv L'Chein K'nin Hashem. He says, even though it's not because of the sin itself, it's because they were saved in a miraculous way, and therefore they became kunim lahashem. So therefore, again, it's nothing to do with the sin. He says, "Mekal market cave and shazek gufa shehutzuku lahanes who bnei inyan bilti ratzoi mechir seisef." This itself, that they needed a miracle, was because of something which is bilti ratzoi. They sold Yosef. So ene muvin lama tigrum hatzalazu leilu gadol yoser. It's not understandable why this type of atzola should cause a ilugadul yaiser, ilulayim kar yaiser. Meaning they did something wrong, and that actually brings the kedusha. That seems counterintuitive. Or maybe in other words, we could say what the Rebbe is trying to point out is that, yes, they needed to be saved. But why did Hashem have to save them in such a way that they got kedusha? They weren't deserving of being saved because of the Chiras Yosef. Hashem did a miracle and saved them anyway. So Hashem saved them. But why did they get Kedusha? And Hashem could have saved them in a way that they wouldn't have received a type of Kedusha by being saved. Hashem saved Bahrai, Hashem saved Yidden many times. Chris Yamsuf, let's say, we don't find that the Yidden got a Kedusha at that particular moment of time. So over here we're saying is that, so therefore also, why did Hashem redeem them in a way that they got Kedusha? L'chare, they weren't deserving of that. They weren't even deserving to be saved. Okay, so Hashem did a miracle and saved them. So why would this that Hashem is saving them, give them that type of Kedusha? Why does Hashem do it in such a way? It's counterintuitive and seems like it doesn't fit what happened. So that's what I believe the Rebbe is saying, Rei Lekman Bifnim. So according to this is the question, maybe the question and maybe two parts of the question. That if you're understanding that both of these things are kapara, why do you need two kaparas? And if you're understanding that it's two sugei tashlumin, then okay, why? Then we can understand at least why we need Machzis a shekel, but then by pidyon a ben, why would Mechiras Yosef, which is an avera, bring to the inyan of kedushas bechor? That would be the question. So one and three, the first question in Sif Aleph, and the third question, which is the first question in Sif Gimel, would go together. Okay. Before we go on, so I wanted to do, let's do our two. So the Rebbe quotes Shkol and Perek Beis of Halacha Gimel, which we read, and then he also tells us V'cheinu Bereishis Rav Parsha Seinu Ala Pasik Parsha Peidal Yudches V'Oyin, and other places too. Rebbe will quote them throughout the Sicha and Ha'aris, but look at the Shulah Hagilia. If you go to the Bereishis Rav Sham, Mecharten B'Nosh Rachel B'Chulu L'Fichach Yekol Acha V'Achem Mafresh Erech B'Noy Heitzla. Over there, it doesn't say Bechar, it just says son, and therefore he says each one should separate the Erech of five Sloy. It says, "Re'e Rashi, yifei Torah, pir shemar zu, l'breishis rabba shem." Let's start with that. So if you look at Rashi, so Rashi in the Breishis Rabba, what seems to be, just to give a little, what seems to be bothering the Rebbe is this lashon of erech. First of all, of course, it's different. The main question. There's also the inyan of, but no, that's a more of a side question, which will, that deek will be more understood once we do yifei Torah. But the main question really is the lashon of an erech. And this also bothers the Beforshin. The Marzu asks, start with the Marzu. Marzu asks, l'chayra, what does it mean, erech? He says, Mafresh Erech. What is Erech? Erech is from the idea of Erechin. He says, L'chor, this comes from the Pasuk, this is in Parshas B'chukaisei, Perek Chav Zayin, that the Lachas of Erechin, that if a person says that he's going to give an Erech of a certain individual to the Beis HaMikdash, so based on the age and the gender, that's how much you're supposed to give. So let's say the child is a month to 5 years old, and it's a male, you give 5 shkalim. If it's a male and from the age of 5 to 20, then you give 20 shkalim, and different amounts for a female. So he says, L'chayra, the saying that you're being mafish the erech, that's what he's referring to. He's going to this inyan of erechin. But he says, Sarach Ian, but by saying that each one has to be mafish the erech benoi, that each person has to do the erech of his son. So the son is, again, would be 30 days old. So the erech would be 5 shkalim, which would be the same amount technically as Mechir Yosef. But it's mafish that each person has a chiv to do the inyan of erech. Meaning that since Yosef was sold for 5 shkalim. Therefore, there's an obligation for everybody to do this inyan of erechin on their child. He says, but what eich that inza shayach be'erechin? That's not shayach be'erechin. Erechin is not something which you're obligated to do. That's something which is voluntary, that you're giving something to the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the connection? Okay, so we'll see the Marzu's answer in a moment. But look at Rashi. So Rashi in the Beis Rabba tells us that why is he using the word erech? Because that's ultimately he's using it. So Rashi tells us regarding the lashon, it says because it says in the pasuk by erechin ish ki yafli, and Targum explains yafrish, that a person will separate. So again, sorry. So the lashon of the medrash was, use the expression of mafresh and the erich benoi. So he says, where does this expression of the Medrash come from? He says, it comes from the union of erich, and where it says ishke yafli, and the translation of the word yafli, according to the unkelus, is are yafrish, which means that you will separate. And that is referring to the erichin. And the erich of a zacher, who's from 1 month to 5 years old, is 5 shkalim. Which is the poyde b'nai b'chayr b'chal kasef. So that would be the value of redeeming your son who is a b'chayr for 20 kasef, the fi shemakre b'chayr shor rochel, because they sold the b'chayr of rochel. So it seems like Rashi's trying to tell us that this expression is coming from the inyan of erchen, and it's trying to just explain to us, it's trying to say not that you're chayiv to do an inyan of erchen. It's trying to explain why are we giving the value of our son to the kohen. So he's explaining like this, because we sold the son of Rachel for 5 salayim, therefore each person has to separate the value of his son. And how do we know that's the value of the son is 5 salayim? We know that the value of the son is 5 salayim because that's what it tells us in Erechin. So it's very interesting. So that's what he's trying to tell us, that because Yosef was sold for 5 salayim, this made us, and he was the Bechor, therefore this makes us have an obligation to also redeem our son for his actual value, which is 5 slime. So his real value, Taka, is 5 slime, as we see from Erchin. And the reason why we have to actually redeem him at that point of time for 5 slime is because of what happened to Yosef. So it's like a mida keneged mida. He was sold for 5, even though that's probably a lot less. That was a lot less than he was worth. But nonetheless, since he was sold for 5 slime, that made an obligation that when we redeem our Bechor, we also sell him for his value. So it seems like, according to Rashi, he's just trying to explain, why does he say mafish erech? Because to Rashi's saying that, it's stressing that that's the actual value of what the child is worth. So Ibezoi, it's telling us the reasoning for this particular mitzvah. So it seemed like, according to Rashi, this would be more of inyan of, thinking doesn't say clearly, but it seems like he's holding that maybe it's more of an inyan of the mitzvah. It doesn't mention anything about the inyan of pidyon because of Bechari Mitzrayim and all that. It seems like the reasoning why we have this is because of what happened to Rachel's son. Therefore, we also have the same obligation to redeem it. I guess you could argue on that. Then, if you look at the Yifei Tayar asks, the Lachaira, he says, how can we say that the inyan of pidyon of ben is because of the Bechari? Is because of Yosef being sold. The Torah actually tells us very clearly why we have Pidyon Bechor, and that's because we know that Hashem saved the Bechor Mitzrayim, and we need to redeem our firstborns from the Kayanim. He says, rather, what the Medrash is trying to tell us is actually just the reasoning for the value. Why five Shlaim? It's true, we need to do a Pidyon, but why is this Pidyon specifically five coins? It couldn't have been, there could be 10 coins, 20 coins, 30 coins. Why five? So he says the reasoning why it's five is because that's what happened with Yosef. Meaning it's just like Yosef when he was sold as a slave, they evaluated him to be five shekel. So similarly, when we have to redeem our son from the Kayin, we're redeeming him similar to this inyan of Eved. Kilu, he's the servant. He's owned by the Kayin. So therefore, when we redeem him for five. So it's this the connection according to the Yafei Tayar of Yosef too, Pidyon HaBen is really more, much more technical. There's no pneumistic connection. It's more of an external connection. Meaning, we have to do Pidyon HaBen because we have to redeem our, because the child has a Kedusha, and we need to redeem him from the Kayanim. The only question is, why five? So the reason why five is because that's the value. How do you know that's the value? We know that's the value because of what happened with Yosef. Since Yosef was sold for the five shlaim, so we see that the value of how much you should sell or redeem a slave for is five shlaim. So therefore, we do the same thing for the first, our own firstborn. Okay, so it has nothing to do with a kapara. It has nothing to do with even like not even as much as the Nezer Kodesh, what has this secondary connection that because they weren't deserving to be saved, and therefore we ultimately there was this inyan of pidyon ben. It has now nothing to do with that. It's just how do we know five slime? So we know five slime is the value because we see by Yosef that's the value of a slave. Zehu. And he says regarding the machzus of shekel, also he says the Torah says the main reason is because of kofer nefesh. He says, aye, so why is the Medrash saying because of mechiras Yosef? So he gives two answers. One of that, the second answer he gives is similar to what we said, that still it's a kapara, fine. But the first answer he wants to say is that it's like a head tax. He says, how do we know how much the head tax should be? Because we see that how much did the brothers get? Each one got two shekelim, to dinar, machzus shekel. So we see from this that each one got a machzus shekel. That's considered ki'ilu, like the minimum value that a person, like the minimum amount of a na, minimum amount of like a of a head tax, of an amount that a person as an individual would get. So therefore, we also made that head tax, or the Torah makes the head tax also machzus shekel. So it's not, again, intrinsically connected. It's just technical. How do we know machzus shekel is a value of a person, or it's because that's how much each of the shvatim got. Another answer is that no, it also has to do with the inyan of kapar. But the point is, according to the Yafei Tayar, when we look at Pidyon HaBen, he says the only connection to Yosef, he doesn't say anything about kapar. He only says it has to do with, because we see that that's how much a slave is redeemed or sold for. Ma'aseh shekel, he talks and gives two answers. Let's look at the Marzu. The Marzu says he brings the Yerushalmi. So it sounds like, according to the Marzu, he understands the Bereishis Rabbah is saying the same thing as the Yerushalmi, that it just means. When it says that you're giving the value, it means that you're giving the value mitzad the inyan of Pidyon HaBen, and he doesn't really explain why the Yerushalmi uses the Lashon of Erech. I forgot to mention that according to the Yafei Tayar, the Lashon Erech actually fits beautifully, and also the Lashon of Ben. Since according to the Yafei Tayar, it has nothing to do with the Pidyon. The Pidyon is mitzad, the Kedusha that the child has, and he owns to the Kohen. The only question is, how much should this Pidyon be? So we say, how do we know how much the pinyon should be is because of Yosef. Therefore, we know that the erech of the child is also five slime. So we give the erech of five slime to redeem the child from the coin because that's how much his erech is actually worth. So according to the Yafei Tayar, it fits very well, this expression of erech, because the erech is connected to the erech of the of Yosef, which was ultimately also the erech of the baby. So it's nothing to do, so again, it's nothing to do with the pinyon. That Yosef was Yosef being sold is not a reason why we have pidyut haben. Yosef being sold is a siman how much the erech of the child is. Therefore, it uses the lashon of erech, and it also uses the expression just benoi, not bechor, because it has nothing to do with Yosef being the bechor. It just has to do with that he was an individual, he was a son, he was sold, and he was sold for that amount. It didn't make a difference if he was a bechor or the second born or the third born. The point is, he was sold, and we look at how much he was sold for. He was sold for five. So it's not. It's not as much mutgash, it's not as relevant the inyan of Bechor. And Lechayra, the same thing, at least by Rashi. Rashi, why does it use the lashon of Erech? Because it's trying to tell us that the actual value of the child is five slime. Why are we giving the value of five slime? Because we see by Yosef that he was sold for that amount. So therefore, also Rashi's telling us that the Erech of the Zachar, as we see in the Torah, has a value of five. Okay. The Rebbe then tells us to look at the Chizkuni. So Chizkuni in our Parsha has a question that why was Yosef sold, like Adam Yofel Ki Yosef, why was he sold for such a small amount, just 20 kesef? So he gives three answers. The first one is because he was with all the snakes, his face was green, so he looked a lot cheaper. Fine. The second answer he gives is because that's the amount that's mentioned in Erechin. It says that a 5 to 20 year old is worth 20 shkalim. Yosef was 17, so therefore he was sold for 20 shkalim. So according to this answer, the way how the Chizkuni is learning Esrim Kesef is obviously not Esrim Dinar, but he's learning it Esrim Shkalim, and the reasoning, he's trying to understand why was he sold for such a cheap amount. So the answer is because they were just using the halachas of Erechin. So therefore, that was his value, which would have been 20 shkalim. Then he does something interesting. He brings the Medrash, and he brings Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the lashon he had is Mafrish Samesh Slayim Shabachar B'manetzuri, that you separate. It doesn't have the lashon of Erech. It just has the expression of Mafrish Samesh Slayim Shabachar B'manetzuri. And he says that since Rachel was sold for five slime, therefore each one should separate five slime for the Bechor. He's now jumping to the pshat of the Medrash that Esrim Kesef is not Esrim Shkalim, but clearly Esrim Dinar. He doesn't really explain why he does that. According to this pshat, his original question is even much stronger. I guess this pshat would only work. His question is, why was he sold for so little? So initially we're assuming it was at least 20 Shkalim. Now we're saying it's not even 20 Shkalim, it's 5 Shkalim. So why was he sold for such a cheap amount? But I guess you have to come to the first answer that he gives us because he looked very cheap because his face was green. And ultimately, Hashem says that because you sold the Bechor of Rachel for this five slime, therefore you need to be Mafresh five slime for your Bechor. So again, from this expression, it sounds like it's a direct type of connection. Five slime, you did this, so therefore you also have to separate five slime. And that's the Rebbe finishes off this hour that he brings another Bracious Rabbi, a different print. Mafresh hate slime shall ben, but without the word Erech, which is also the one that the Chizkuni had on the Parsha. Okay, so to recap what we said, we first brought the Girsa of the Yushalmi. The Girsa of the Yushalmi it has to do with the Pidyon HaBen and the Machzus HaShekel. So the Machzus HaShekel is pretty clear to do with the Kabbara. The interesting thing is, what's the connection of Pidyon HaBen to Mechiras Yosef? So we brought the Nezer HaKodesh, which directly connects it, or indirectly connects it. Because since the Yushalmi uses this expression of Pidyon, therefore we're saying that the Inyan of Pidyon is directly connected or somewhat connected to Yosef. And therefore he has to say is because they were deserving to be killed because of what happened with Yosef, therefore they became holy, and therefore the Pidyon of Ben comes because of Yosef. So whoever has that Girsa of the Yushalmi, or even learns the Bereishis Rabbah like the Yushalmi, or like the Chizkuni that has this other Girsa that says Mafresh, Lechayra, they're going to connected to the Inyan of Ben has more of a connection. Either it's a kapara or it's some type of tashlum, which is connected to the Mechiras Yosef. Rashi Enke, in accordance to the Yafei Toyar, and maybe Rashi, again, Rashi, I guess it's, not, at least to me, it's somewhat ambiguous. According to Yafei Toyar, it's connected only to the Inyan of Erech, so the expression Erech is very meduic, and it's not really connected to Pinyan of Ben directly. Therefore, the Rebbe's question really wouldn't be on the Yafei Toyar, because Because again, because Machzis HaShekel, yes, is a kapara, but Pinyin HaBen, we're just learning how, what's the value of a slave and how much they'd be sold for. So therefore, I believe the reason why the Rebbe brings the Yerushalmi in the Pinyin, because the Yerushalmi, and especially the Pirush of the Nezer HaKadosh on the Yerushalmi, directly connects these two things together. Therefore, the main Sicha will be on that. Mash Enkein, the Bereishis Rabba, which you could explain, like the Yafei Tayar, that it's just talking about the Erech. And it's more of a technical type of connection that the style of the Sicha would not be applicable. Okay. Look at RF 3. The Yafei Torah Shem Shemechirus Yosef Yitam Rakal Erech HaPidyon Chein Al Asach Shem Achsas HaShekel, that the Yafei Torah says that Mechirus Yosef is only a reason on the Erech of the Pidyon or the Sach of the Machsas HaShekel. Right? So even according to the Yafei Torah, he gave two explanations for the Machsas HaShekel. One is literally just a technical one, and even the second one, which says it's a kapara, but that's just a kapara. Why did he choose half a shekel? So we needed to have the Inyan of Machsas HaShekel, let's say even for a kofer nafshoi, let's say for the Chet Egel, or the Karbanas Sibur, but why did it have to dafka Machsas HaShekel? So this Inyan that was a Machsas HaShekel, was to be mechaper on Mechiras Yosef. But again, it wasn't the inyan of Machzis HaShekel, it's just the amount, why that amount was chosen. And then he tells us, Re'ei Pirush HaKosev in Yaakov Shkolm Sham. Look at the Kosev. The Kosev is a Pirush. He's the author of the in Yaakov. And he also wrote a Pirush on parts of it. He has another pshat. He wants to say is that the Machzis HaShekel and Pidyon HaBen is not a kapara at all for Mechiras Yosef. And he proves this with a very known principle that we don't punish children for the sins of the fathers. When it's a, and I'll give some explanation, we do find that, let's say, Chet HaEgel is a sin that's put upon the children because that was the sin of the Tzibur. So the Tzibur lemes, Tzibur is eternal. So the Tzibur does something wrong, then the Tzibur always has its obligation to be Mechaper and they can get punished for the Tzibur because it's always, the Tzibur is always is a continuous type of, existence. When we're talking about Yechidim, a Yachid gets punished for his own sins. You don't punish the child because of the sin of the Yachid. So I was like, why would it be punished because of what the Acha Yosef did to Yosef? It doesn't make sense. Therefore, he wants to say is that it's not a kapara, it's just a zikaran. Meaning, we want to remember never to do such a thing like the Acha Yosef did. The Acha Yosef destroyed their family, they sold their brother, and therefore Hashem gave us this mitzvah, Machzis HaShekel, and Pidyon HaBen, to remind us how to treat family. That when you give the Machzis HaShekel, which equals the 20 kesef, or as more in detail, that each brother got 2 kesef, or the Pidyon HaBen, which is the total amount that was used to, which was received for Yosef being sold, those amounts will remind us of treating your family properly. The Kesef doesn't get whether it's the Zikaron is the amount or the actual mitzvah, so let's keep it simple. You could learn it either way. Maybe you could say either, you know, the mitzvah pinyin HaBen, the minyan Machzis HaShekel is like it's like the reason of a first in the Torah. But why exactly that amount? That's a zikaron. Or you could say the gan tzedakah. Either way, according to the Kosev, also the Sicha would not have a question because it's just a zikaron. He says, Av Nezer HaKadosh Ha'aruch Lebeishas Rav Hashem B'fnei. But our Sicha is really based on the Nezer HaKadosh. Okay, so that is so let's just recap. I'm going to go sit base. The question is, according to those who understand that the Pinyin HaBen and Machzis HaShekel are a kapara, why do we need 2 kaparas for one of Erech? And according to the one, like the Nezer HaKadosh actually understands that it's a pinyin, but the pinyin itself came because of a sin, then the question would be is, how could a sin bring, on one hand, we need a kapara for it, and on the other hand, it brings an inyan of Kedusha to the Bechayrin. Okay, next question. In Sif Beis, the Rebbe asks that L'chaira, in the Yerushalmi, it's talking about different reasons for the Machzis HaShekel. As we said earlier, those Chet HaEgel b'chatzei hayoyim, it's Tangera because they were over on the 10th Dibris. So the question is, why do we bring this Inyan of Pidyon HaBen in B'chla? We're talking about the Machzis HaShekel, so it only really should have brought in the second part of the member, which was that the reason why we have Machzis HaShekel, because since they received 20 kesef, so that means each brother received the Machzis HaShekel, so as a kapara, we give the Machzis HaShekel. And you can't answer and say that, you know, sometimes the Gemara will bring it agav grara. That since we're talking about Mechiras Yosef and that we're having a Machzis HaShekel as a kapara, so we say, oh, you know, another mitzvah which is connected to Mechiras Yosef, that's the Inyan of Pidyon HaBen. And the Gemara does that often. We're discussing one concept, so we'll bring side ideas which are, you know, once we're talking about it, we'll bring other things which are connected to that. It says he can't give that answer because not only because the Yerushalmi is actually makdim Pidyon HaBen before Machzis HaShekel. So in other words, if we were talking about Machzus, if he first mentioned that Mechiras Yosef is cause the Inyan of Machzus is a reason for Machzus HaShakal, and then we bring Agav Arara, oh, another thing which is connected to Mechiras Yosef is Pinyin HaBen, fine, that can make sense. But over here, it first brings Pinyin HaBen, the Machzus HaShakal is Pinyin HaBen, and then we bring how it's, sorry, how the Mechiras Yosef is connected to Pinyin HaBen, and then only afterwards it brings how Mechiras Yosef is connected to Machzus HaShakal. So that doesn't fit very well. So we need to say that the reason why the Yerushalmi would bring it first is because in order to understand how Mechiras Yosef is a reason for Machzus HaShakal, we first need to know how Mechiras Yosef is a reason for the Inyan of Pinyin HaBen. So first you need to understand the connection of Mechiras Yosef and Pinyin HaBen, and then we can understand how Machzus HaShakal is also connected to the Inyan of Pinyin HaBen. There it brings our R13, that this also will explain the smichas that Maseches Shkolim always goes after, is after Maseches Psachim. You look at the Seder is Psachim and then Shkolim. The reasoning is because Psachim is in general the Inyan of Yitzis Mitzrayim, and it's the Inyan of Pidyon Bechor, B'nei Bechor Yisrael, Hashem redeemed his firstborn from Mitzrayim. And at the end of this Masechta, it speaks about Pidyon HaBen. And then the next Masechta is Shkolim, which is about Machzus HaShakal. So why is Psachim Pidyon HaBen before Machzus HaShakal? It must be because in order to get to the Inyan of Machzus HaShakal, you first need to have Pidyon HaBen, as we'll see in the Sicha. Okay, that's the second question. Again, why do we need to have Pidyon HaBen, the reasoning for Pidyon HaBen, put in the Yerushalmi? Or in other words, that the Rebbe is saying it, why is it relevant to understand what exactly is the connection of Pidyon HaBen to Mechiras Yosef, which will help us understand the connection of Machzus HaShakal Pidyon Yosef? Then, Siv Gimel, the second question, we already did the first. The next question is that we said the Machzus HaShakal, the reasoning why it's a Machzus HaShakal, because there's 10 brothers, and each one received 2 coins. But L'chayr, there's actually only 9 brothers involved, because Yosef, Binyamin, and Reuven weren't there. Well, Yosef was there, but he obviously didn't want to sell himself. Binyamin wasn't there, and Reuven wasn't there, so there's only 9 brothers. So Ibezai, it's really each brother got 2.2. 2.22 Shkolim. 2.22 Shkolim. So why are we giving only 2 Shkolim as a Kapar? L'chayr, we should be giving 2.22 Shkolim. Because it really should be divided into 9. So they're bringing. So the Mefarshim give 2 answers. The first answer is you still count Reuven, because even though Reuven was not with them, they left a portion. So he wasn't there, but they separated a portion for Reuven because they figured he wouldn't argue with them. So their chatman was that Reuven would not argue on what we're doing. So they taka did divide into 10 portions. Everybody took 2, and they left 2 shkolim for Reuven. And he says, especially according to the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, because I should point out that there is a machlokes, the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and the Zayar, did Reuven even know that Yosef was sold? We always learn, like the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that Reuven did know, but the Zayar says that Reuven actually did not know that he was sold. He thought they killed him, or he died in the pit, he thought something happened to him. And the Zayar tells us that Reuven only found out that Yosef was alive when Yosef said, "I am Yosef." That's when Reuven found out that Yosef was alive. He actually thought he was dead. But anyways, according to Pirkei Eliezer, he knew that Yosef was alive, and he knew that he was sold. And it tells us that Shama Reuven Meshaseh, that Reuven Taka heard, and he was quiet. So this is what they figured. They figured that he wouldn't argue on them. So therefore, they left him a portion, and that's what the Pirkei Eliezer says, that he Taka knew about it, and he Taka was quiet. In R20, the Rebbe gets into that. What if, did he actually take the coins? So they definitely left him the coins. The question is, did he actually take the coins? So if he took the coins, then the level of guilt is obviously much stronger. But did he actually take it? So he wants to say that from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, the lashon is that kol echav echav notel shnei ksafim. Each one took 2 ksafim, which implies that Reuben also took 2 ksafim. But he says, if you look at the Tanchuma, it says that they sold him machru bechot kasef lechol echav echav mem shnei kasef. They were sold for 20 kasef in order for each one to get 2. So in that type of expression, that he was sold for 20 in order for everybody to get 2 kesef, it could be very well explained that they just left it for him, that he actually took it. They sold it for 20 in order for everybody to get 2, but he never took his chelik. And he says, based on this, you could really even say by the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and it says each one took 2 ksafim, that was actually talking about before Reuven came back. It says they sold him, and everybody took 2 ksafim, and then Reuven came and was trying to figure out what happened with the kid, and they told him that he was sold, and he was quiet. So this, that each one took 2 kesef, is actually was only explicitly referring to the nine brothers. So regarding Reuven, we could say that he also took two kesef, or maybe it was left for him, but he actually never took it. But either way, whether he took it or not, we're trying to say is that it was divided taka into 10 portions, and therefore the kapara is connected to this inyan of two shkolim, because that's how much bepoel it was divided into. The second answer is, this is the Taklin Chanitin gives it, and maybe it fits also with the Zayar, that it was Yosef who was actually involved. Because Yosef was the one that caused the whole thing by awakening Al Yideha Knosh B'Tchila. He was the one that started the jealousy. So because he was the Gairim, he was the one that caused the jealousy, he's going to be considered as the tenth man. So therefore, the Kapar is split into 10. So therefore, the Maxis HaShakel, the Kapar that we need is considered as if 10 people were involved. And therefore, instead of being 2.2 for how much, let's say, if Yosef obviously didn't get any money out of it, so really everybody got 2.2 I, so why is the Maxis HaShakel, let's say, just 2 shekels? The reasoning is because he was Taka also involved. Therefore, the sin is divided amongst all 10 of them equally. So therefore, each one would have to give technically 2 shekels back. At least Baruchnius, it's as if each one took 2. We're dividing the sin into 10 equal portions. Therefore, for future generations, it's going to be 2 shkolim that need to be given as a kapar. But the Rebbe says this answer is not galactic, because we know every inyan and Torah is betachlis, meduik betachlis. So since the Bechir Bepeil was only through 9 brothers, and the hapach the Ratzon of Reuven, and obviously the hapach of the Ratzon of Yosef, so why would this shaychus rechayka, this distant connection of Reuven or the Yosef, be considered as a gleiche shtatvus, as an equal partnership, in such a level that we're dividing the kapar into 10 portions? That the reason why we have machzis hashakel is because it's considered as each individual received the machzis hashakel. How, you know, but the level of guilt is still not the same. How could you say it's divided into 10 portions? Therefore, the kapar for future generations would be considered as if it's like a, we basically need to do a 1/10 level of kapar. Really, we should need a 1/9 level of kapar, because the connection of Reuven to Yosef would have been much less. So so there's really a higher level of guilt for those 9 brothers. Therefore, for the children, us, the descendants, L'chaire, we also have a stronger level of kapar, which would be, let's say, equal to 2.2, whatever that means, Baruchnius type level of kapara. And as pointed out, that especially if you learn that Reuven didn't even take the money, and Yosef, who for sure didn't take the money, then this question, of course, is much stronger. You know, if Reuven took the money, then, you know, you could say his guilt is a little bit strong, but still, it's not equal to everybody else. And of course, the main thing, L'chaire, is the level of guilt, which is involved. The Rebbe points out in R22, he says, L'chaire midei Moshe l'beishis Rabasham, shemachalaka esem kesef l'ches m'hashvatim ayin shem chashboine. According to the midei Moshe, this pirush on the beishis Rabba, the kesef was actually only divided into 8 brothers. So that means everybody got 2.5. So he wants to say is that Yosef, Reuven, Binyamin were not even there. He says Yehuda, he has a chiddush. He wants to say Yehuda actually didn't want to sell him. Even though it was Yehuda's idea, Yehuda actually didn't want to sell him. He was just trying to, get the brothers to take him out of the pit. And he brings this from a Gemara. It says in the Gemara that call him Mevarchus Yehuda Arzemanat. Whoever blesses Yehuda is angers Hashem, which the Pashas Rashi learns what it means is whoever says that Yehuda did a good thing by selling Yosef because he was trying to sell him, that's like cursing Hashem, because his kavana was not a good kavana. His kavana was to hurt Yosef. But he wants to say that Pshat Kol Mevarech Yehuda is sometimes the Gemara will use the Lashon of Mevarech as a Lashon Saginar. So it says whoever curses. So sometimes Mevarech means bless, sometimes it can mean a curse. So he wants to say is whoever curses Yehuda angers Hashem, because why cursing Yehuda would be angering Hashem? Because Yehuda actually had good intentions. He didn't want to actually even sell Yosef. He was trying to save him too, just like Reuven was trying to save him. So either way, he says, therefore, Yehuda was not also part of the guilt. So the money, so he didn't take any of the money. So it was divided only up to 8 brothers. So everybody got 2.5. Aye, so why do we give a machzis hashekel? A machzis hashekel is 2 coins. So he comes up with an interesting cheshbon. He says, we start giving the coins at 20 years old. An average person's life is 70 years old. That means the regular male will be giving the machzis hashekel for 50 years. So 50 times a half a shekel would equal 25 full shekel. Right? So that means in a person's lifetime, an average male will be giving 25 full shekelim to the base of Mikdash. And he says that if you look in the Gemara tells us that the kanas for selling, if you sell a slave to chutzlar, to a goy, I'm sorry, if you sell a goy, sorry, a slave to chutzlarts, which is an iser, you actually have to buy back the slave and free him, but you need to buy back the slave for up to 10 times his value. So since they sold Yosef to a goy, so therefore they had to buy him back. And they had to buy him back for 10 times his value. So how much was the value? Since each one got 2.5, that means that each one had to pay at least 25 shekels in order to buy him back. So therefore, each one had a guilt of 25 shekels, because since they received 2.5, and the knas is if you sell somebody, a slave to goyim, you have to buy them back for at least 10 times, up to 10 times the value. That means the level of guilt that each of the brothers had would have been 10 times 2.5, which is 25 shekels, which would have been the amount that you give over your lifetime. So he says, according to this cheshbon, actually it works out very well. So the Rebbe's question would not be on the Midei Moshe. He actually gives an interest. I mean, not the Pashtus of the Medrash. Pashtus of the Medrash is that there's 10 brothers, and the Machzis, the shekel itself, was connected what each brother received. But according to the Midei Moshe, we're not looking at what each brother received. The Machzis Shekel is not what they received. They received more. They received 2.5 shekel. They didn't receive a Machzis Shekel. They received more than a Machzis Shekel. The reason why you give a Machzis Shekel, because a Machzis Shekel times 50 years will equal 25 shekel, which is the amount that they were chayv to pay buy back Yosef with. Okay, that's an interesting chat. Okay. But that again, so then the Rebbe's question at least would not be relevant to that particular Pirush. Siftal Rebbe gets into the answer itself. So he tells us. There's that he starts explaining that in the sale of Yosef, there's really two parties involved. There's two parties involved. There's the brothers, and there's also, of course, Yosef. The brothers do an aver by selling him. And each brother receives a machzis, a shekel, as his pleasure, is his anah. So the guilt, the level of guilt each brother has would be the level of a machzis shekel based on the hanah that they had. So each one has the level of guilt for selling him for machzis shekel, and therefore there's a pagam in their nefesh, and I guess ultimately also the neshamas of their descendants after them, because of this machzis shekel that they received. But then there's Yosef. Yosef, his connection, he was sold for 20. He was the second party. And how much was his total value that he was sold for? He was sold for 20 shekel, which sorry, 20 kesef, which is 5 shekel, which is the same amount as the pinyon of Ben. So meaning is like this, that the inyan of Machzis HaShekel, that is a kapara for the sin of the brothers. Each brother received a Machzis HaShekel, that was the hanah he got, and therefore he made a pagam in his nefesh. So the kapara for that pagam that they made, they needed Machzis HaShekel. So pinyon of Ben is connected to pagam and a kapara for the brothers. Pinyon of Ben actually is connected to Yosef. How much was the value of Yosef? Inside Yosef that he was sold, how much was he as an individual, how much was his value? His value was 5 sloin. So connected what that the selling, what it affected Yosef, meaning is that he was sold as a slave. Therefore, we have this inyan of Pidyon HaBen. So Pidyon HaBen is connected to the Yosef's part in the sale. So according to this, we could understand why the first and the third question, again, if it had to do with if you want to say it has to do with Kapara Mamish. Then one is connected to the effect that it had on the brothers. The other is the effect that it had on Yosef. Therefore, you needed two types of kapars. But according to the second way of understanding, remember, the connection of the first and the third, that it's two totally different types of payments. So now we can understand why there's two different types of payments that happen because of one avera. There's a kapar that was needed beside the brothers, but then, and because the hanah, their act, which they got pleasure from, so that na, that's only the ma'aseh mechira. But then there's what happened to Yosef. So what happened to Yosef, though, wasn't all bad. Meaning, by the Mechiras Yosef for the Shvat, and that was a Chet B'Yirida. But when we're talking about Yosef Alain, the inyan of him being sold actually caused an Iloy with Vastrik Sechais in the inyan from Bechar. So our question is, why, by selling Yosef, would there also be an inyan of Kedusha which is involved? So the answer is because the effect that the Mechiras Yosef had on himself, Mitzad himself, he didn't do anything wrong, so there's no sin on his part. Rather, him being sold as a slave, Mitzad himself, how it affected him, it actually was brought an Eloi. So that spiritual quality that was given to Yosef through him being sold as a slave, connected that is going to be the inyan of Pidyon Bechor, as we're going to see. Okay, so the Sifrei Rebbe brings a Zohar. So the Zohar tells us, asks the question, that why was it that Yaakov sold Yosef, why was it that Yaakov sent Yosef to his brothers? L'chor, Yaakov knew that his brothers hated him. So the Zohar answers is because Yaakov wasn't choshed the brothers at all. He knew that they were Hasidim. He uses actually two expressions. He says, loy choshed alayhu, and loy choshed loin. He wasn't choshed above them, and he wasn't choshed themselves. And as the Rebbe's father, the Kutu Levi Yitzchak explains, that Yaakov had no chashad on the brothers at all, neither before the thing actually happened, or afterwards. Therefore, it's a double expression, and the first expression is alayhu, which is more makif, because nothing actually happened yet, and even after something happened, that there was a mechira, he still loy choshed loin, he wasn't choshed them for a particular act, that one protistic act, that something happened to Yosef, he wasn't choshed them, that they were involved in his death, or whatever occurred to him. So meaning is that Mitzad the Shvatim, and how Yaakov knew them, they weren't really shy on their own for such a thing to happen. Rather, the Zohar tells us, Hashem, Garam Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem caused this all to happen, begin L'kaima Gzer the Gaza Ben Absarim, or to fill the Gzer Ben Absarim, Hashem made it happen. What does it mean that Hashem made it happen? Of course, there's always an inyan of Bechir Chachis by the brothers, but the point is, the Pashtus, Hashem made it much more difficult. In a regular situation, they would have been able to overcome this type of nisayon, but Hashem wanted it to happen, therefore he made it much more difficult. The Or HaChama explains, this appears on the Zayar, that it means is that he created this idea that sinah makalkelus es ha'shura, that sinah actually messes up what things, how things are usually done. So Yaakov understood that the brothers, the Shvatim, are not shy of selling Yosef. Even if they're angry, they're not really shy to do it. I'll be the logical conclusion. No way, they wouldn't have done it. He says, but Hashem caused it because Hashem made it that sinah makes people do stupid things, makes people do things which wouldn't make sense, wouldn't fit with them. So Yaakov knew his sons. It's like they could be angry, but they're not going to do something crazy. They're firm guys. They're tzaddikim. They're going to sell Yosef. No way. But he says that this inyan of sinah, makalkelus, is how things usually work. So therefore, that's how Hashem caused. Not that he directly caused it, because the person has bechir chachas, but he caused it by making this type of inyan. Another maybe pshat is, according to the Rambam says when Hashem makes a gzerah, it doesn't mean that he made a gzerah, he says that the Mitzrim are going to make the Yidden suffer. It doesn't mean So then he asks, like, if Hashem said that they're going to go into exile and they're going to suffer, why is Hashem punishing the Mitzrayim? Hashem is the one that made the Gzer. So the answer is, the Gzer was on the cloud. That if you're going to go into Golus, he knows that there are going to be many individuals that will cause the Yidden to be in pain. But for each individual Mitzri, they had a choice. So similarly over here, probably, that when Hashem wanted this to happen, but he still gave the choice for each individual. So he knew out of the 10 brothers, there's definitely going to be some of them that are going to do the wrong thing. But of course, each one on the individual basis had bechir chachas. Therefore, as we talk, see, Reuven wasn't happy with what happened, according to the Midei Moshe. Also, the Yehuda wasn't happy, didn't want to get involved in that. So obviously, they did have something bechir chachas. But as a klal, he knew that some of them would actually sell Yosef. Therefore, he caused it to happen. But then the Zohar says, fine, so we know that they needed to go down to Mitzrayim to Mekayim the Inyan of Bris Ben Absarim. But why did it have to be through his brothers? It could be like a million and one reasons why Yaakov and his family went to Mitzrayim. Why did it have to be through Yosef being sold? So he says, amazing idea. So he says like this. He says, because through the Bnei Yaakov, the Shvatim, ruling over Yosef, he says, through this that they threw him into the pit, and they sold him like a master sells a slave, that means that Yosef was a slave to the brothers. Through throwing him into the pit and having control over him and then selling him like a master sells a slave, that is a type of kinyan. Therefore, they actually acquired him as a slave. And he became the slave of his brothers. And then when Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim, Yosef ultimately becomes the Mishnah Lamalach. And when there's the famine, all of the Mitzrayim sell themselves to Yosef for food. So all of Mitzrayim become slaves to Yosef. And we have a rule, whatever a slave owns belongs to the master. So it comes out that the Shvatim, the Bnei Yisrael, actually owned all of Mitzrayim. Because since Yosef belonged to the Shvatim, and all of Mitzrayim belonged to Yosef, so therefore it comes out that the Yidden actually owned Mitzrayim, and they weren't, it came out that Yidden shalta akulo, and that ultimately brought the Geula. Meaning is that since they were never really under the Shlita of Mitzrayim, therefore the Geula happened, the Emes was ultimately revealed. So again, so there's this idea that this that the Yidden had control. This is an idea the Rebbe speaks about in many places, how the Yidden are never, the neshama of the Yid is never in Gaulus, because the Pnimius of us is always something which is above the world. So that's one, I think, idea that he's trying to stress, is that the Yidden weren't completely in Gaulus. We weren't slaves and owned by the Mitzrayim. On the contrary, we had control, but Pnimius, over them, and ultimately this Inyan brought the Geula. There's two questions. First of all, I'm going to question an R26. The question of R26 is that, wait a second, didn't the Shvatim sell Yosef? They owned Yosef, and Yosef owned the Mitzrayim, but Yosef was sold, so they don't own him anymore. So he answers in R26, Avshim ba'atzma machub, they sold him. The answer is, this is the rule the Mishnah tells us in Gittim and Gimel Lambeis, that someone who sells a slave to a goy or to chutz la'aretz, the yotzel acheres, of a tzarek get shichur, that they go free, but they need to get shichur. Or meaning is that as the Gemara explains, that a yid, when he owns a yid owns the body. And also, in the ownership of a slave, there's really two parts. You own his body, and you also own his actual work. So what's relevant for owning the body is that you own his, you can tell him who he can marry, his children belong to you, and then there's also his actual work that he does, that it comes to you. So he says, you're not allowed to sell a slave to chutz la'aretz, and you can't sell it to a guy. When you sell a slave to the guy, you actually are unable to sell the body to the guy. So the body always belongs to the yid. So all that you've really given, sold to the guy, is the ability for the guy to, the eved, to work for the guy. So you sell your eved kanani to the guy, which you're not allowed to do. So now this eved is able to work for the guy. But he doesn't actually belong to the guy completely, because the body always remains in ownership of the yid. So therefore, Hashem, the Chachamim, don't want you to do this. Because since the eved kanani is mechuyev mitzvahs, like an isha, so eved is chayv and mitzvahs like an isha. So if you sell the eved kanani to a guy, he won't be able to do the mitzvahs. Therefore, the chachamim say you're not allowed to sell. And if you do sell him to a guy, the halacha is you need to buy him back up to 10 times his value, and you need to let him go free by giving him a gut shichur. So therefore, and by chutz la'aretz, it's a little bit different. Chutz la'aretz, the mission is actually talking about selling him to a yid, and then the one who buys him has to let him go free. But the point is, you're not allowed to do that. That's what probably Rebbe brings the chul, because he's trying to say that you're not allowed to actually even sell him the chutz la'aretz. But over here, the main idea would be selling him to the Mitzrayim, because by even without, like, chutz la'aretz is just an added point. The main thing is you're selling him to a nakri, and by selling him to a nakri, you never gave up ownership, because the goof of the slave still belongs to you, and therefore you have an obligation to buy him back up to 10 times his value, and then you have to let him go free by giving him get shichur. So therefore, let's say if the guy runs away from this nachri, you're not allowed to take him back and say, oh, his body still belongs to me, so I'm going to take him back. He's really my ownership. No, the halacha is you'd have to free him and give him a get shichur. So what are we seeing from this halacha? So when the Shvatim sold Yosef to the Mitzrayim, which were in chutz la'aretz, nonetheless, the body always belonged to the Shvatim. And more than that, it's not just that the body owned to him, they actually had always had an obligation to buy him back, and then ultimately to send it to give him a get shichur. But the point is, he was never actually freed. And he also, more importantly, he still belonged, according to halacha, he still belonged to the brothers. Get into two more points. Point is that l'chayra, the brothers, you know, this is the inyan of if a yid sells an eved kanani to a guy. So that this is before Matan Torah. So how is this relevant at all? Like everybody had the halacha of b'nei noyach. So the Rebbe says that this is in Sevav. Skip a bit, but says that ultimately, what was the inyan that if you sell, you're not allowed to sell your slave to a guy? The ultimate reasoning is because the slave is mechuyev in mitzvahs, like mechuyev in certain mitzvahs, and we want him to be. And if he goes into the rishus of the guy, he won't be able to do these mitzvahs. So Yosef technically was also mechuyev in mitzvahs. At least he accepted upon himself the inyan of being mitzvahs. So Yosef was belonged to someone who was mechuyev in mitzvahs. The Rebbe brings down mila b'chulu, and he was also an eretz hakodesh. And there was stress is the idea of Eretz HaKadosh. Because again, the main idea that you're not allowed to sell the Jewish slave, even a Goyish slave to a Goy, is because of the Inyan of mitzvahs, and it seems like also maybe it has to do with the inyan of kedusha. You don't want to become tamei bein hagoyim. That if he's going to be with the goyim, he's going to be doing avodah zara, all these other types of things. He won't be able to do mitzvahs. On the contrary, he's going to get involved in things that we don't want him to get involved in. Therefore, that's the reason why you need to buy him back. So this logic also applies to Yosef. Yosef belonged to the shvatim, therefore, who were able to do mitzvahs, and they were in Eretz Kodesh. By selling him, now he's not in Eretz Kodesh, and he's not able to do mitzvahs. The Rebbe stresses it's Eretz Kodesh. In other sichas, the Rebbe discusses if Eretz Yisrael had Kedusha at that point in time. But over here, you know, even if you want to say whether you want to get in that debate or not, if Eretz Yisrael had Kedusha at that point, I think the main stress that the Rebbe is trying to say is that it had holiness mitzad the inyan of that everybody, that in Eretz Yisrael, people knew about Hashem, as we find by Eliezer, Avram and Eliezer, when Avram was speaking about Eliezer, about the difference between people of Canaan, the people of Padan Aram, that in Padan Aram they only knew that Hashem was Elokei HaShemayim, Ashek in Eretz Canaan, everybody knew that he was Elokei HaShemayim, Elokei HaArts. So the point is that mitzad, the main vort of the Tkanis Rabbana that you need to buy him back is because that you're not allowed to sell him and you need to buy him back had to do with the ability to fulfill mitzvahs. So that would be connected to the Nirmila, the Eretz HaKodesh, that idea of being able to serve Hashem. That seems like the main point. In R 29, the Rebbe says, especially according to the Manda Amar, that they fulfilled the whole Tire of Anasas Kulei together nether. That wasn't just Mitzvah Mila and Eretz HaKodesh, but they actually did the whole Tire. So for just Mitzvah Mila, you know, technically, I guess Yosef already had the Mila. So like, what exactly are you holding him back from? It says Mila V'chulu, Mila, he already had. So just, then it would just be the union of Eretz HaKodesh. But especially according to the Manda Amar, that it's kind of called a tour, they did the whole Tire. And therefore it became like a nether. That means Yosef would have had an obligation to continue doing the Torah because he made a nether. Then the Rebbe goes into, as we see that there is an union of nether, even them, because Abraham made a nether to Abimelech, Yidr Yaakov nether. You know, many times we've seen the Dharam and Shmuas, even before Matan Torah. So clearly the union of nether has a chalai. So by fulfilling the Torah, that would have had a, when you do something more than three times, that's considered that you're making a nether. So therefore, Yosef would have had an obligation to do the whole thing. So by selling him, he would not have been able to do it. And therefore, they would have an obligation to buy him back. Then he continues that, according to many Manda Amrim, there's a question, does a Ben Noach Mesuva Ben Eder? So he tells you, look in Encyclopedia Talmudis, that some say it's Machlaikis, if a Ben Noach has the Isser of Bal Yichal. Some say that according to some say it's Machlaikis, some say that according to everybody, by Shavua, he has the Imin of Bal Yichal. And tells the different sources where to go to, brings the precious Zerach, and that maybe it depends if the obvious had, were they considered a Ben Noach, were they considered a Ben Yisrael, and Yeshem Gamenei Lishvatim calls that was a Ben Noach, Ben Yisrael, so if they were considered Ben Yisrael, then of course they would have been obligated to fulfill whatever neder they made. Then it there says, V'oid V'ikr, it's a parenthesis, the Iker, that Yeshlema Shem Neder LaHashem B'dvarim Shem Adel L'makim, V'derech Zel L'kaim Kater, that Dvarim, which are between Hashem and a person and Hashem, and therefore, similarly, to fulfill the whole Torah, Yesh v'zeh geder da'avodas Hashem, that has a geder of serving Hashem. V'vadek, sh'bnei noyach, isa maisa, m'sug zeh, isa mitzvah. That when a ben noyach does an act, which is of this sug, which is avodas Hashem, of course he did a mitzvah, afshalei nistaba maisa zeh. But when a ben noyach does a mitzvah, even if he's not commanded, of course he gets reward. As we find by the Avis, before Matan Torah, they did many things, isa chesed, mishpat, stako mishpat, they did many things they weren't necessarily mitzvah in. And of course, that's considered they did a mitzvah. So even if you want to say, regardless of this idea, you know, does a Ben Noach, if he makes a neder and then he doesn't fulfill his neder, you know, is he obligated to fulfill his neder or not? So yes, maybe they made a neder to fulfill the Torah, but since he was Ben Noach, he could have got rid of that neder without any problems, and then he should be able to be sold to Mitzrayim. But the Iker, the Rebbe says, that Yishloimar, that it's an inyan of avodas Hashem. So inyan of avodas Hashem, of course, he's doing a mitzvah. So regardless if he's mechuyev or not, and if he could get rid of his nadir, definitely there's a mitzvah being done. So therefore, going back to the pnim, Yosef would not have been able to be sold to the mitzvah because bepeil he was doing mitzvahs. So that's definitely a mitzvah. It's interesting, the Rebbe puts the ikra. I'm not sure why he puts the word ikra as in parentheses, because I guess he's misupik. If the main idea would be that there was a nether, therefore they're obligated to do it, or would you want to say that the main thing is, regardless if they could have got, you know, Yosef could have not fulfilled the nether, but the point is that there's a mitzvah there. Therefore, if he's doing a mitzvah, then we have to give him that ability to do the mitzvah. Probably the reason why there's a question mark is because you can ask that if he's not obligated to do it, then how far is this takanas chachamim? This takanas chachamim that you can't sell somebody, I can't sell an eved to a goy because they won't be able to fill the mitzvahs. This is only when the person is actually obligated to fulfill the mitzvahs. Or do we say, even if he's not obligated to fulfill the mitzvahs, but since papayel he's doing mitzvahs and he's serving Hashem, you can't take away this basic human right and really the purpose of life in general, which is to serve Hashem from a person. This person's on a level that he's serving Hashem. You're going to be the one to cause him not to be able to serve Hashem. Which is also a question if that applies by Ben Nayach. But either way, maybe that's what it's based on. And one more point before we go right there is the Rebbe says this idea that if he was thrown into the pit, that they had a control over him, that threw him into the pit and sold him like an Adam Amichers Avdin. Right? So we know that one of the ways of acquiring a slave is by doing a chazaka, that if you use an individual like let's say you buy a slave, how do you acquire him? One of the ways is by utilizing him as somebody would use a slave. So selling him, like a master sells a slave, at that moment, the way how he was selling him, that would have been a chazaka. So I was searching quite a bit to try to find a marker for this idea of that this is one of the ways to acquire a slave. I'm assuming at this point we're obviously a Ben Yisrael, you wouldn't be able to acquire this way, but rather we're going to consider Yosef a Ben Nayach. But usually you can't just kidnap somebody and use them as a slave. That would not actually work, from what I understand. Usually you either buy the slave, let's say he wants to sell himself, or he already belonged to somebody, and you're buying a slave, or you capture them in war. But stop just kidnapping someone and, putting a gun to their head, usually, from what I understand, that would not actually make that individual a slave. That would be against the halacha. So why, by showing control, by throwing him into the pit and acting to Adam Eichas Abdai, why would that be considered a way of making him a slave? And I was looking to try to find something that discusses it, and unfortunately I wasn't able to find. So I'll just give some of my own ideas, is that we do have an inyan of halacha that if you want to buy something from someone and he doesn't want to sell it, so what do? You hang him upside down and then you hit him until he says, you know what, I'll sell it to you for $500. When the person agrees, we say, like, once he agrees, he actually agreed, and the object is sold. So it could be that this is a very similar idea. A person is allowed to sell himself. So it could be that when Yosef was put into the pit, and the pit was full of snakes and scorpions and all these things, he was going to get killed. The Shvatim originally were planning on killing him. So once they were planning on killing him, we could say one of two things. Either he gave up on life, he was miyayish, and therefore he would have been hefker, or maybe even better, he would have agreed for the sale to happen because either it was death or being sold as a slave. So he says, you know what, it's better to be sold as a slave than to be killed. And that's what the Shvatim thought. So since he agreed to be sold instead of being killed, and then they did the chazaka, which is, so that's him giving up, so therefore he's selling himself to the brothers, or he's letting himself being acquired, such as letting himself. And then you actually have the chazaka, which is that would be considered the chazaka. So that's one way of understanding it, that he agreed in order to save his life, and then they made a chazaka. Another way, maybe, is that the Mefarshim do explain that they had some type of, like the brothers had halachic reasons why they felt that Yosef was a raidif, and therefore they were allowed to kill him. So there were some halachic basis behind wanting to kill him. So I haven't seen any halachic basis behind selling him, but maybe you could take that idea that there was some type of halachic basis also to sell him, that because of whatever things that he was doing, he was deserved to either be killed or to be sold as a slave. Therefore, they, as the Beis Din, decided that he should be sold as a slave. And maybe to give a ksas raya lizeh, is that we find that when Hashem told Avraham, he asked Avraham, when the Yidden sinned, do you want them to go into Galus, or do you want them to suffer, or Gehenim? He preferred Galus, the suffering of Galus. Something like Gehenim is more like death, and then there's going into Galus. So maybe this is like an example where we see that someone who's Chayv Misa, Galus could be instead of the Chiyav Misa. So maybe that was the psak that they made. This individual is Chayv death. So instead of death, he'll be sent into Galus, the Mitzrayim, as a slave. That could be maybe instead of the death penalty. And remember, this is ultimately before, and another point is that ultimately this is anyways, before Matan Torah. So b'chlal, we find that before Matan Torah, that many of the halachas, they sometimes they did it more beruchnius. Like we find that Yaakov did tefillin by playing it with doing some things with the sticks, right? With the sticks that he was putting into the river for in order for the sheep to see the sticks. That was considered like an inyan of tefillin, as it says in the Zohar. So it could very well be that before Matan Torah, they were looking more at the logic and the ideas behind the Torah and the ruchnius behind the different punishments, and therefore they had some ability to play around with it because it wasn't they weren't chayiv in the actual halachos of the Torah. Therefore, they were able to do certain things on a ruchnius level. So maybe this would be an example of something where they took the ruchnius tam behind it, that they're reserving death, and they give something which was similar to death. Okay. Either way, those are different shot and maybe why how he would have been belonged. I like the first one the best, but just different ideas. Okay. So the point is, from this Zohar, what are we getting from the Zohar? That when Yosef was sold as a slave, there was a very big milah that was done to Yosef, because Yosef ultimately would never, by being sold as a slave by the brothers, saying this that he was sold by the brothers, that means he first belonged to the brothers, and therefore when he came to Mitzrayim, he actually never belonged to the Mitzrayim. So that was the milah, that he was always above Mitzrayim. So he says the difference. So this is interesting. So because according to the Pshutish Mikra, what was the Toiva? Yosef was sold as a slave, and Yosef says, "Don't worry, Hashem sent me here." But that's what does that mean? That means the Maisa Mechir itself was bad. The Pshutish Mikra, he was sold. That was very bad. He was a slave. But ultimately, something good came out of it. What was good? That he became the Mishnah Malach and he was able to support his family. According to the Zohar, we're saying is that this itself, that he was sold, was actually something which was very good, because this, though, if he was just sold, that means that gave him the ability to, besides for himself, to always be above the Mitzri, and that also gave him the ability for the Yidden to remain above the Mitzri. And on the contrary, that they ultimately own the Mitzri. The Rebbe's lashon is the chul mechem sheres, the fleita gedela, that Hashem sent me in front in order that there should always be a remnant of us and in the land in order to be a great saving. So the geula of Mitzrayim ultimately happened because of Yosef. That since Yosef always remained above Mitzrayim, and more than that, we're saying through Yosef, all of the Bnei Yisrael remained above Mitzrayim, and more than that, all the Mitzrayim actually belonged to Yosef and or ultimately to the Bnei Yisrael. That is what was poil the geula. So that inyan was something which was very good, that the Bnei Yisrael owned the Mitzrayim before they actually went into Galus. So it comes out that Mechir Yosef has a double very fuchai. On one hand, Tzad Acha Yosef, their kavana was something bad. They wanted to become a slave. That was Galus Mitzrayim. So therefore, what was the punishment from that? The punishment was there was Galus Mitzrayim was a punishment, and they ultimately their kapara for all generations. We need to have the Machzis Hashakel. But Mitzad, this that Hashem caused it all to happen, what Mitzad the Pnimius, Mitzad Hashem, why did Hashem want that to happen? The point was that through selling him, that gave the koyach of the geula. And this is the connection of the Chayr Shel Rachel with Inyan of Pidyon HaBen. So the Inyan of the Pidyon HaBen, Pidyon Bechor, is not that it's a kapara, like the other way of understanding it. No. We're saying the Inyan of Mechir Yosef made it that Yosef was acquired. He belonged to somebody that was mechuyav of mitzvahs and someone living in Eretz HaKodesh. So therefore, Mitzrayim couldn't have any control of him, and ultimately through him they couldn't have any control over the rest of the Yidden, and therefore the Yidden always remained higher than the control over the Mitzrayim. And that is the inyan of a bechor. What is the inyan of a bechor? The inyan of a bechor is that the bechor is koni la Hashem. The bechor belongs to Hashem. The bechor is lihu. The Bechor belongs to Hashem. And as the Chinuch explains, that through recognize by giving the Bechor to Hashem, the Bechor, by the way, is naturally Kaddish, but you also have to give it to Hashem. You have to make it, it's Kaddish by itself, but you also have to say it's Kaddish and bring it as a carbon. Through doing that, you remind yourself that everything actually belongs to Hashem. So the inyan of Bechor is that the Bechor belongs to Hashem, and through the Bechor, you remember that everything belongs to Hashem. So similarly, by Yosef being sold, not only did that help that Yosef remained above Mitzrayim, belonged to the Shvatim, and the Shvatim obviously belonged to Hashem. The Shvatim are those who are doing the mitzvah. So Yosef belongs to those who do mitzvahs, but all the Bnei Yisrael belong to those who do mitzvahs, and therefore they always remained above. So according to this, the Inyan of Pidyon HaBen, which is the Inyan of Kedusha, is actually connected very nicely to Mechir Yosef, because it's not connected as the Inyan of a Kapara. according to this way of understanding it, but rather it's connected to this idea that just like the Bechira was paled by Yosef, this ability to remain always higher in Mitzrayim, and also all of Yidden could remain higher, similarly, from this is Nishtalsh, the Inyan of Pinyon and Bechar, which is the same idea for future generations, that we could always stay higher than Golas, we could stay higher than the Welt. And through this, we could also understand why Chazal were Madaik that the Kapara needed to be with 10. Like they had to be with 10 people, 10 people, had to be either Yosef or Reuven. So our question was, L'chaira, there's different levels of guilt. So it should have really been 9. So the reasoning why the Chazal wanted to be Madaik that it was 10, because the Mechiras Yosef also had a positive effect. The positive effect was that, again, that Yosef remained higher than the Mitzrayim. But ultimately, where does this koyach come from? How did the Shvatim have the koyach to keep Yosef higher than the Mitzrayim? The koyach comes from the koyach of a tzibur. When we have a tzibur, we know the shchita is sharia, that there's an ur l'ki, which is higher than the worlds, even higher than Malachim, and that's nimshach when you have 10 yidin. So since there's 10 brothers which were involved in the Mechira, so 10 brothers owned him. So since the koyach, the tzibur, owned Yosef, so it wasn't just an individual owning Yosef. Because yeah, an individual maybe, I could say an individual, he himself could go under the shlita of the Mitzrayim. No, one person is sold to, it was just one brother. So I guess the koyach of one brother maybe also could have been sold to the Mitzrayim. That would have messed up everything. But what we're having, the tzibur never could be, the tzibur is eternal. The tzibur of the Yidden can never be completely sold, all of them. The tzibur always remains eternal. Even if what individual, everybody, the tzibur always remains eternal. We actually find by the Shvatim, Levi was never sold. So the other meaning is that not Levi, the descendants of Levi were never part of the Shiva of Mitzrayim. That connects to this idea because Hashem promises that tzibur of the Bnei Yisrael are eternal, always remain higher than slavery. They're always connected to Hashem. It's called the Am Olam, the eternal nation. They're Nitzchias. The tzibur is always Nitzchias. The individual could be killed, individual could be sold, but the tzibur can never be sold, the tzibur can never be completely destroyed, the tzibur of the Bnei Yisrael is connected to Hashem, and therefore they're ultimately eternal. So therefore, by the tzibur selling Yosef, both on a spiritual level, shchinta sharia, and also on a more halakhic level, since the tzibur can never be sold, therefore they always would have had some type of ownership over Yosef, and therefore ultimately ownership over all the Mitzrayim. Okay, and therefore, we find that on one hand, it was all 10 brothers were involved, but Begilu, there's only 9 brothers involved. So 9 brothers were involved because it needed to be Bechatsoinis, it needed to look like, it needed to be that it was a Kavana which was built in Ritzuya. Bechatsoinis, it had to be that Yosef was sold as for a bad Kavana. But Bepnimius, he was being sold because Hashem wanted him to be sold. Hashem wanted to be sold as for the reasons we just explained, that Hashem was the one that caused all this to happen. As we said before, that the Shvatim and Tzadim themselves weren't really shy to this. This was Hashem causing all of it. So therefore, Bepnimius, this is something which was Hashem causing. So Bechatsoinius, only 9 brothers are involved. Because Bechatsoinius, this was an Avera, has nothing to do with the Tzibur. But Bepnimius, Hashem wants this to happen. Why does Hashem want this to happen? Because he wants him to remain higher than the Velt. And how do you remain higher than the Velt? When there's Dafka 10 Yidin involved. Therefore, Bepnimius, there were talk to 10 Yidin who were involved. So that answers why the Medrash wants to say that there were 10 involved. But we still need to someone understand that the Maksa Sashaka was a Kapar. So our question was that since it's a Kapar, shouldn't have been, at least the Kapar part should have been 2.2. Fine, it's at the Panemius, whatever, that you need to have 10 people who are involved. But why is the Kapara connected to all 10? Shouldn't the Kapara at least be connected to the 9 of them? So I think that's what the Rebbe tells us about in Sif Ches. The Rebbe says, Al-Pizeh Yumtuk, that the Kofer Nefesh was a Machzis HaShekel. Because the Machzis HaShekel, what did you use the Machzis HaShekel for? You bought the Karbonis Sibur. So the Machzis HaShekel was used for the Karbon Sibur. What does that mean? In the selling of Yosef, there, as we said, there were 2 parts. There was the Bechatsoinius, which was Sinas Kinam, they hated him. And then there was the Pnimius, was the Koyach HaTzibur. So also in the Kapar, you need to have both of those parts. You needed to have the Abbas Yisrael, which was Mavata, the Sinas Kinam. And you also needed to reveal the Pnimius, which was the Koyach HaTzibur. So in the Machzis HaShekel, we really have both of those parts. On one hand, in the Machzis HaShekel, the Machzis HaShekel is used to buy Karbanas Tzibur. So the Machzis HaShepel is revealing what was the Pnimius of selling Yosef. The Pnimius of selling Yosef was really it was all about the Tzibur. The Pnimius of him being sold was something which was positive. So that takes care of the chelik, which is really maybe even keneged Yosef. You want to say that there should be somewhat of a kapara, which is keneged Yosef, Yosef being sold. You know, that's revealing that even mitzad Yosef, this was something which was good. And you know, let me get back to that in a moment. So let's just keep it simple right now. So there need to be two parts. There need to be the pnimius, which was that the koyach hatzibur, and the chitzonius was the sin of schinim. So in order to reveal the pnimius, that's by the machzis hashekel was used to buy the kabanas tzibur. In order to be mevatel the sin of schinim, that's why it's a machzis hashekel. Machzis hashekel means a half. That you're only a half. That you, the only way to get a full shekel is if you have two yidin come together, then you could have the full shekel. Which that's expressing the idea that on your own you're just a half and you need another yid to have that achdus. And even more than that, that machzis hashekel is tangera. Tangera, of course, is a remes for the union of the tzibur. So the Machzis HaShekel, this idea of feeling as a half that you need other yidin, that brings to the Achdus and obviously Yisrael. And that's Mesaken, the sin of Mechiras Yosef, which was because of Hapech Ava, which is Sinah. But Mitzad the Pnimius, what was Mesaken, the Pnimius of it, that was revealing the Koyach HaTzibur. And therefore, this also makes sense why you needed to have all 10 brothers involved. Bechitzonius, Enachinam, you only needed 9 to get rid of maybe the Sinah Schinah. But mitzad the pnimius, you needed to have all 10 because the purpose of the machzis hashekel is to reveal that it's about the 10. So the machzis hashekel is to reveal that it wasn't 9; it was really 10, and it was about the koyach hatzibur. So the chitzonius, it looked like it was 2.2, but the pnimius was taka 2 for each one because Hashem wanted them to be 10. So the way how to get the kapar is to reveal that there was taka 10 in all. That's why we give machzis hashekel each one, because the pnimius was 10 equal parts. Because inside the pnimius was taka 10 people that were involved. But tzvenius was 9, but the pnimius was taka 10, and that's why the machzis hashekel, which is to bring a kapar, has to reveal that pnimius. I also want to just maybe add my own thought, I was just thinking of it now, that we also said earlier that in the pinyin of ben, we said there's two ways of understanding. Was the pinyin of ben part of the kapara, or was the pinyin of ben a totally different type of inyan? So we said, according to the Bachia, he learns that it was part of the kapara. So what would be the kapara? The kapara is mitzad the part of Yosef, meaning is machzis hashekel was because of the brothers, while the pinyin of ben is what the part that affected Yosef. So we can say that even in the machzis hashekel itself, you actually kind of see the kapara. So according to the Bacha, you have both of those parts. But according to this way that we've been explaining, it seems like the kapara would only be from Mitzad the brothers. But Mitzad Yosef himself, you know, the suffering that Yosef had as an individual, what's the kapara for that? Okay, so we have one way of explaining it, the Pashas, how the Rebbe is explaining it, that the way how we get the kapara is to reveal the penis that was talking, a good thing, so that the mela gets rid of the bad, because it wasn't bad, it was something which was good. Okay, that's the Pashas' answer. But maybe we can say also over here that according to this other way, we can say the machzis hashekel is to really to mechaper in both parts. Mitzad the inyan of the Yosef being sold, and his value was 20 shkolim, therefore we have all 10 brothers being involved. Because the inyan of 10 brothers being involved, as we said, that's the part that shows the koyach hatzibur. So the 10 brothers giving as a kapara, that's also maybe you could connect it to this idea of being also as like a regular kapara, that there was 10 in order to, how do we get the regular kapara is also, okay, I actually think that all is kind of is the same idea. So I lost my train of thought, but I think actually that's actually all the same thing. Okay, the Rebbe just points out, R39, Derech HaSachos, it's an interesting idea that we find that Bavli doesn't have Mesachos Shkolim. But when they printed the Vilna Shas, even the first time, in Vinciya, in Resh Pei Beis, they printed the Bavli with Shkolim. And Shkolim is Yushalmi. So in the printing of Bavli, you have one Mesachta of Yushalmi, which is Shkolim. So there's different reasons. The Pashas, the reason always is because since we have everything else in Ma'id, we also wanted, and the only thing that was missing in Ma'id was Shkolim. So instead of like having Shkolim, Ma'id, Seder's Ma'id, missing one Sefer, I guess they put in Shkolim. But he says, Alder Chasapas, you can say it's because all Inyan of Shkolim is the Inyan of Achdus, that you're a half, and you need somebody else in order to have Achdus, in order to be a whole. So therefore, that's the Inyan of Shkolim. So therefore, in order to show the Achdus between Bavli and Yushalmi, you need to have one Resachta, And that was Masechta of Shkolim, because that's Ma'akid, Bavli, and Yerushalmi. Okay, and then the Rebbe brings two lessons, which are so late already, I'm not going to go into detail. The Rebbe says the lesson is Mitzad Ruvain, that there's nine brothers plus Ruvain, according to the first answer. So why Ruvain? Because Ruvain is that even though he was upset and he thought the brothers did something wrong, nonetheless, he doesn't separate himself from them. Like, yes, they did something wrong, he didn't agree, but he was Shamba Bashasa. He didn't say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with you guys. Rather, he was quiet, and he even says that he got somewhat involved in explaining things to their father. I'm going to assume, according to this, that maybe the explaining to the father was, you could learn that it was somewhat of a good thing. We find that even Hashem, Yitzchak, doesn't say anything to Yaakov. So I guess Reuven's taking their thing. But the point is, he doesn't separate, but rather still stays with his brother. So that's an idea that even if there's a Yid that's maybe not on the level, you know, he's a Brias Ba'alma and he's not on your level, you think he's Rachi from Teres Hashem Vadasa, you should always find ways to Makar from the Torah. And then Mitzad Yosef, we find an even bigger Chiddush. That Yosef, we're saying, was part of the Ten. Yosef, it's causing him Tzar. Why would he be part of the Tzibur? Yosef himself, even at the, not only afterwards, he forgives them. At the moment of him being sold, he agrees to it. And he's Meshtatet, and he's one of the Ten, he's one of the Ten that are involved in the selling, which kind of fit actually with my explanation. One of the questions I asked earlier is that, like, in order, you can't kidnap someone to be a slave. So Yosef must have agreed to it, which is interesting. So even I'll be, well, the whole thing's a Kabbalah, but this idea is that Yosef's one of the 10 because he's a part of the group that shows that he also agreed to being sold. So that actually, both of these things will fit very together. But anyways, the lesson is that even Mashas Maisa, you have to be done. Therefore, Yosef doesn't, he's considered one of them shtapped in the Mechira. So he's down them, like this, that he's, that the brothers are selling me is probably Lekaf Schus, they're probably doing it for the right reasons. So it's not just that he wants to save his life, like I said before, he's assuming, you know what, if this is what they're trying to do, Mestamets Lekaf Schus. Okay, more than that. The Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that everything is bashkacha pratis, and even when something bad happens to you, you can't blame the mazik, but it's rather, this was supposed to happen. Anyways, you should look at yourself that it was your own fault. So this is similarly by Yosef that the Mefarshim had said, why would Yosef be one of the 10? Is because he was the one that caused the Mechira, because he brought the jealousy. So this is what Yosef's thinking. That A, Daniel Kaf is supposed to do it for the right reasons. B, it's Bashkacha Pratis to Mechaper on my involvement. Three, whatever Hashem does is Lekav of it. As we know that the Mechira Bepeil caused the Geula, as we said, because it made Yosef and his brothers and all Bnei Israel higher. So it's Lepav of it, that's the third thing. And therefore, ultimately, this made him not angry, but on the contrary, this brought an Inyan of Abbas Yisrael, and the Inyan of Abbas Yisrael is Mevatel, this Hezek. And this is what we've been saying the whole time, that through Yosef being Meshtatev, because of this Abbas Yisrael. And he says, you know what, I'll join in with my other nine brothers, even though they're selling me. I'll be Daniel and Lekav Schus. I'll assume that it's punishment for myself, and I'll also assume that it's Hashem does it Latav, and this is with the Inyan of Abbas Yisrael, because he's staying with them. That ultimately was Mabak to the Inyan of Belts, because he was one of the 10 that gave the Koyach of the Tzibur in order to ultimately bring the Cheres. And through this, we see that through the Inyan of Abbas Yisrael, the Inyan of Abbas Chinam, that will Mabak to our own Gaulis, which is the Inyan of Sinas Chinam. So, Bemela, if you Mabak to the cause of Gaulis, which is Sinas Chinam, all automatically, and Bemela, Miyad Hein Negolim, and this is the same thing by Yosef, that through being Mabakal, through being Mavat, or even more than that, you're Megala, that it wasn't an Inyan of hatred that they were being sold, but you're Megala the Pnimius. The Pnimius is that Hashem wanted this to happen. Begin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was to give them the Koyach of the Gula. So when you're Mavat, the Pnimius of why this whole thing happened, and the Mela, the sin is in this battle, the Golas is in this battle, you see the truth that the Yidim were always ruling over the Mitzrayim. So that's interesting. That Mavat, the Sinna, and be Megala, the Koyach Hatzibah, then the Mela, we saw that the Yidim were, I guess, never really in Gaulis. The Gula was always ultimately there. So same thing over here, Miyad Hein Negolim, when we reveal that the Inyan of Sinas Chinam, therefore, B'meila, when the Siba is done, B'meila will have the Mesubav. B'biyash Mashiach Zitkenu B'mehira B'yameinu Mamash.